are fortunate that Jesus did pay it all. That's why we can come here today and worship Him. We're going to spend a little time talking about that today, about the miracle of mercy. If you don't know yet, we're doing a six-week campaign. We're in campaign two, talking about the miracle of mercy. We have small groups going on. We have some information at the table as you leave in the back if you want to know what groups have formed, and there should be some books still back there. And if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call, and we'll talk to you about that. So we're going to spend some time talking about the miracle of mercy today. And being a teacher, I'll have to do some review. We'll talk about last week just a little bit. This is our textbook for the course here, if you want to receive full college credit for this class. No, don't worry, there won't be any tests. But wanted to talk about last week is that there's a definition that Rick Warren gives that I think we should keep in front of us. We should memorize this and keep in front of us about his definition of mercy, and this is how he defines mercy. Mercy is refraining from harm or punishment, unexpected kindness. So we not only are grateful when we receive mercy, but we're also blessed when we give mercy. And so there are five things we're looking at as we go through this series, and we're looking at the first one today, but the five marks of mercy he talks about is one, I forgive those who have fallen. Two, I help those who are hurting. Three, I am patient with difficult people. I'm glad John's preaching on that, not me. Number four, I'm kind to my enemies. And number five, I care for the lost. So I want to spend some time today talking about that first mark of mercy that he talks about in those five marks of mercy. And the first one we're going to talk about today is mercy forgives the fallen. Mercy forgives the fallen. Well, when we think of mercy, a lot of times we go to the Beatitudes and we think about Matthew 5:7. It says, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So when we think about mercy, that's usually the first place we go when we're talking and thinking about mercy. But I wanted to take you in another place that Jesus takes us, and he shares it in the framework of a parable. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, if you have your scripture with you, I'm going to read that whole passage, and we'll come back and look at that individually. So a few weeks ago, my daughter bought me a Bible, and before she went to Georgia, she wrote send money in the front of it. No. So I'm hoping these letters are big enough that I can read. I noticed the older I get, the print in the Bible gets smaller. So we'll take a look at this. So we're going to be Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to start in verse 21. It starts out with Peter. It says, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had for repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay me back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling, and he went and threw him into prison until he should pay back what he owed. So when the fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, and they reported this back to the Lord what had happened. Then summoning him, the Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have given mercy to your fellow slave? in the time, in the same way that I have had mercy on you. And the Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So we're looking at those scriptures a little bit piece by piece. And the first part I want to look at is going to be Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 21 through 27 first. Don't you love Peter? If you're a teacher, Peter is a kid to raise his hand in class before you even ask a question. So some of y'all can identify with Peter better than others. So Peter's just going to go out there. He's going to raise his hand. He's going to stick his big size 10 sandal in his mouth again. And so we're looking at verse 21 here, and it says, "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. So Peter says, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother? The tradition or the law was you'd have to give him up to 3 times. So Peter's feeling pretty generous. He says, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to give an extra good answer. And we're going to double it and say, I'm going to forgive him not only 6 times, but one more just for good effort. And so I'm going to forgive him 7 times. And so Jesus says, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. So Jesus is trying to make a point here, some hyperbole perhaps. I don't think we're keeping tabs of how many times we forgive something, but Jesus is going to give us a parable here in a minute that talks about God's mercy and how merciful he is to us and how often he forgives us. Does Jesus forgive us 7 times? Jesus forgives us 70 times 7? Okay. Does Jesus forgive us an infinite amount of times? Yes, he does. So continuing through verse 27. He says, for this reason, he gives a parable, says, I do not say to you 7 times 7, but up to 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, the one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay him, the Lord commanded him that he be sold along with his family and children until he had made repayment. So this 10,000 talents, it's a specific number, but really in the language of the Greek, is that was the largest number they could come up with. So it's just not a dollar amount, but it's a number you could not repay. You know, if we look at this in today's numbers, we're looking at maybe $3 million. But the point of this was not the dollar amount. The point was this, is that this is a huge mountain of debt that you could never pay off. And if he's talking about us being our dead and our trespasses and sin, then that heap of debt's getting bigger and bigger. So Jesus is talking about here, making a point, is that here's an unfathomable amount that you can't even understand that you need to repay. So he gives us one of the reasons that he talks about is that we need to forgive is because God has forgiven us. And as we continue through these verses, as we look in verse 26, so the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you everything. And the Lord and the slave felt compassion on him and released him and forgave him the debt. So if this guy owes an unsurmountable amount of money and he falls to the ground and cries out for mercy, I'll repay you everything, do you think the owner's going to believe that? Do you think the master believes that? So what the master knows is that he has no way to repay him, and he has mercy on him, and he extends his mercy to him. So we see here in just these passages from verses 21 through 27, we see that the master shows mercy, shows pity on him. The master forgives his debt, and the master sets him free. So the point of this story up to this is that this is a picture of what God does for us, is that we're indebted because of our sin, right? We have a debt that we cannot pay. Even if I could die for my sins, I'm not perfect. So my sacrifice is ineffective, and that's why we have to look to Christ. That's why I have to look to the perfect Lamb of God. That's why we have to look to the ultimate sacrifice that Christ gave on our behalf, that God could have mercy on us. Let's continue to look at this, and we're going to see, so we've got a free slave. We have the master that has a relationship with the slave. He frees him. Let's go look and see what the free slave does. Let's look at the passages that are verses of Matthew 18. We're going to look at 28 through 30 now. But the slave went out and found one of the fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Denarii was a day's wages, so he owed him 100 days' wages. So compared to, you know, $30 million, $3 million compared to about 20 bucks, that's sort of the comparison he's putting here. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." This ought to sound familiar to the guy. Wasn't this his argument he used just a few minutes ago? And he says, "So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they went back grieved and reported everything to the master." Says, but he was, let me go back to verse 30. It says, "But he was unwilling and went out and threw him into prison until he should pay back what he has owed." So a lot of times we feel like we don't want to forgive. And forgiveness that he talks about in this part of the teaching is not easy, okay? This part of that he's talking about mercy and extending mercy, this is hard work sometimes, isn't it? Some of y'all are nodding your head. And some of y'all have experienced that. I've experienced that. If you've been a Christian for any time long, you realize that you get hurt. And usually get hurt by people who are closest to you. And so usually we get hurt by other Christians. And so we're given this story here is that Christ is talking about other believers here, I think, in this case. And he's talking about how do we extend mercy to other people? How do we extend mercy to those who have hurt us? Sometimes, in my own experiences, I've had people say stuff to me that wasn't true. And I just kept silent. Now, I'm not telling you that's what you need to do, but in that situation, I said that the people who knew me and who I was and had known me for a long time knew that that was uncharacteristic behavior that they were talking about. So people were trying to use a slander against me and try to use things against me. But I had to keep my mouth shut. That was the hardest thing. I had to pray that God would give me strength and mercy and that I would forgive those people. Now, I'd be lying to you if that told you that that happened instantly. I'm not that good. But I knew it would be a process, and it was a process. And it was a process that was drug over a long period of time. And so he's going to talk today a little bit when we go back into our sessions this week and go through our studies. It's one of the things he talks about is mercy, but he also talks about forgiveness. And he talks about trust. Now, showing somebody mercy and giving them forgiveness is different than giving them trust, isn't it? So sometimes we have people who harm us, who hurt us, and we forgive them, but that trust has to be earned again. So we're gonna differentiate those two, and we'll talk more about that when you get into your sessions, and we'll talk more about that as we get into this passage. So we see a slave who is released from an enormous amount of debt. Does that sound familiar to you? I'm a slave who's got enormous debt. I'm a slave to sin until Christ came to me and forgave me and released me from that debt and broke the power of sin. He talks about in Romans, he talks about he breaks the power of sin and he sets us free. So now I'm free to live the life that Christ has called me to live. So that's what he's talking about in this story. But now we see somebody who's been forgiven and they don't extend mercy to others. We have these people, we have some people that you know that. Those are some people that you'll talk about in your class. Who talks about hurt people, don't they? And so we know some of those people. Some of those people are near and dear to us. Some of those are the ones that you are writing their names down to pray for. And you're praying for God to give you patience. And you're praying that God will help you show mercy to those folks. So we don't want to become like the unrepentant or the unforgiving servant here. So we have the master who forgives the unforgiving servant. And then we have another person here this other person, his fellow debtor, he would not forgive. And so a lot of times we make a mountain out of a molehill, don't we? So we need to make sure that since we've been forgiven much in comparison to what we've done with God and how he's forgiven us, we need to give those and extend mercy and forgive those who are close to us. Now, that's easy for me to stand up here and say that from the pulpit, look at the Bible and say, you got to do it, and you do got to do it. But I'm telling you, that process is a process, and it's not easy. And you need to have people around you praying for you. And so as we look at this last part of this passage, we see that in this part, we see that the slave was released from his debtor, and the this slave that received went to his fellow slave and told him to pay everything back. So he wanted to exact justice. He wanted to do what was required by the law. He locked him up and wanted him to stay in prison until he could pay everything back. That's not how he was treated. And that's not how God treats you and me. Is that when we cry out to mercy like this servant in the first part, when you cry out for mercy, God gives us forgiveness. So he showed no mercy. Now let's take a look at the second thing that we want to look at, is that three reasons that we must learn to forgive. The first one was because God has forgiven us. We see that in this parable. The other reason is that because resentment makes me miserable. And John talked a little bit about this last week. But a lot of times we don't want to forgive. We're going to withhold that forgiveness from somebody. You did something to offend me. You don't know that, but you did something to offend me. And now I'm going to hold a grudge. And is that me holding that grudge on Jeremy right here? I'm going to hold that grudge. Does that hurt you? You don't even know you've offended me. But I'm sitting here, and so a lot of times we'll build up resentment in our heart. And we won't look at the big picture. We just want to know and get repaid by those we feel that are indebted to us, not realizing how much has been forgiven us through Christ. So one of the reasons we want to forgive and we want to practice forgiveness is because resentment makes us miserable. And let's look at those verses, verses 31 through 34. He says, "So when the fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because of what you pleaded with me. Should you also have mercy on your fellow slaves in the same way when I had mercy?' And the Lord said, and the Lord was moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him." So this came back to haunt him, didn't it? He went back to harbor that resentment. He wasn't able to see that he would be forgiven much. And because he'd been forgiven much, is that he could forgive a little bit. And so sometimes in the same way is that we have people that offend us. Maybe they know about it. Maybe it's on purpose. Maybe it's by accident. I mean, I've offended people. It's not on purpose, but usually my mouth or my emails or my text or my Facebook post will offend somebody. And that was not my intent. But I need to extend mercy and forgiveness to those that I've offended. And you do too. You may look on there and say, "I never knew they thought like that. I'm going to have to defriend that person." You're going to defriend that person on Facebook? They'll never know it. But we do need to extend mercy. We hold that resentment in, is that that's a self-inflicted pain. That's like us trying to drink poison to hurt the other person. So we're sitting here trying to drink poison, trying to drink this resentment, and saying, I'm gonna make Jeremy pay for it. I'm gonna drink his poison. You feel anything yet? I'm picking on you because you're by yourself today. So a lot of times we'll treat resentment like that. So we must seek to forgive others, because that resentment will hurt us and harm us. And, you know, it's a hard thing. It's not an easy thing, because those ones nearest and dearest to us are the ones that hurt us. They're the ones that we have to give mercy to, and they're the ones we have to forgive. And sometimes that's not easy. But we do see that God wants us to forgive. We see in this part here is that the master summoned the wicked slave. He handed him over to the torture, that he must pay all that he owed. You know, when you look at Galatians, you read through Galatians, is that part of the issue with Galatians is that we wanted to require everybody to be circumcised and come back under the law. Well, Jesus paid the penalty for the law, so you wouldn't have to live under the law. So sometimes I think in our forgiveness is that somebody forgives us, but we want to demand or exact justice on the other person when that's not been required of us. So we see that also in other places. But we're going to see as we look here and wrap this up, I wanted to look at a verse that one of the third reasons we want to look at, the three reasons we must forgive, because God has forgiven us, because resentment makes us miserable. And the last reason I want to look at, we must forgive or learn to forgive, because I will need forgiveness in the future. And let's look at 1 John 1:9. This is a first. This is a good verse. Many of y'all have memorized this. If you haven't, you need to, because you're going to need this. Is that I'm going to need forgiveness in the future. And Jesus is the one who has paid my debt. Because of Adam, I was born in my trespasses and sin. I was separated from God. And what I deserved, if I asked what I deserved to be one of the thieves on the cross. That's what I deserve. So I don't want what I deserve. But God, through his mercy, gives us exactly what we don't deserve. And that's his salvation. That's his peace. That's his joy. Okay? And so God, through Jesus Christ and him paying the penalty of sin, has saved us. And so we're going to need forgiveness in the future. So Jesus paid our debt that we had before we were born because of Adam. He paid for a debt because we're going to sin while we're still living. We come to salvation. We become Christians. We don't sin anymore. That's not my experience. I know I'm going to sin. I know I've sinned, and I'm going to sin also in the future. So I need his forgiveness. So let's read 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So by this, before and after this verse, he talks about if you say you're not a sinner, then you're a liar. So we know we're going to sin again. He's talking to believers here. We know we're going to sin. We know we're going to need forgiveness. And so Jesus has paid for our penalty of sin before, during, and after, if you want to look at it that way. But he has paid a great price for us. And he gives us an opportunity to that when we do sin, we can go back to him and ask for his forgiveness and know that he is going to be faithful to forgive us. Now, is that good news? So we see that God has extended his mercy to us. We see God's grace in that. We see that the unforgiving debtor wanted to require the law. So we see grace and law in action through this parable. But also we see the gospel. And the way I explain the gospel is gospel everything that Christ did in order to pay a price that we couldn't pay. So Christ's perfect life, Christ's life on earth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that's the gospel. And that's the good news. You know, we read the story about the debtor and we always want to be the good guy in the story. But we don't ever see us being the unforgiving servant, do we? We always want to be the one that was just owed a little bit and I'm going to pay it back, God, and it'll be good. Sometimes I see myself as the unforgiving debtor. Is that I'm holding grudges and is that I'm trying to hurt other people by holding those grudges or trying to make them follow the law or trying to make them pay the penalty. But God's had such a great mercy on me as I have no right to do that. I have no right to hold those grudges because of the debt that he has paid for. And that my sins that he's paid for now, I'm going to have some more in the future. I'm not as good as my dog thinks I am, so I'm probably going to sin some more in the future. So that's the unfathomable thing of trying to understand who God is and what he's done for me and why he saved me, I don't know. But I want to be in his good graces. And I want to understand this mercy that we talk about. And the three reasons that we look at is that we forgive because God's forgiven us. He's forgiven us a great debt. It wasn't this small stack of money. It was the big bank vault of debts that we owed. Is that we want to forgive because resentment makes us miserable. I can testify to that. Holding those grudges, being unforgiving, trying to have them pay for something that I didn't have to pay for makes you miserable. That's no way to live. And we forgive because we know we're going to need it in the future. So as we look for forgiveness in the future, we know that if we come to Christ, if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. And he will confess and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I hope that's good news for you today. So as we go and we look at our lesson this week, I want us to think about what Christ has done for us. Think about this parable. He's going to talk about some things that's happened in his life, and you can relate it to some of the things that's happened in your life. Is that when I think of the mercy and the grace that God has extended me. I have no right to hold a grudge against you or those who have offended me or those other Christians who have offended me. Is that I do need to give him glory and honor and praise. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you today, Father. We come to you today, Father, as a prisoner. We come to you today, Father, because we are unforgiving to those you've already forgiven, Father. And I pray today that you will help us learn to forgive, Father. That you help us learn that we need to forgive, Father, because you have forgiven us. And you've forgiven us of Lot, Father. I pray also that we will learn to forgive, Father, that those grudges and that strife that we have in our life, that we can just let that go, Father. That you will repay what needs to be repaid to that person, Father. I can let it go and know that you'll take care of that issue, Father. I pray we forgive that person, Father, that we won't be miserable. And I pray, Father, too, that we will extend and understand mercy and give grace to those who don't deserve it, Father, because you've given grace and mercy to me. You've given grace and mercy to us, and we don't deserve it, Father. I pray that you would just show us mercy, Father. We'd understand mercy, how we can have those surprise kindnesses, Father, that we can extend those to others, Father. That we can release them from the harm they've done to us and what that's done to us, Father. We can start the healing process. I pray you continue to lead and guide us, Father, that all we say and do will be glory and honor and praise to you. It's in Christ's name we pray.